This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Friday was not only Valentine's Day, but it was also the first official day that the Phase 1 trade deal was in effect with China. Both tariffs on both sides of the agreement officially began coming down. The coronavirus outbreak is causing concern about China meeting its own obligations under the agreement. An AgriPulse report says U.S. experts are worried about whether ports, interior transportation, and soybean crushers all are at normal operating levels. However, industry sources and USDA data show that 1.6 million metric tons of U.S. beans were making their way across the Pacific headed for China. The latest numbers show that 69,000 tons of soybeans have left the U.S. and headed to China during the week of January 31st. During that same time frame, USDA reports show net sales of 132,000 tons of soybeans for China for 2019-2020 marketing year. The numbers show that soybeans are still going to China, even though information coming from out of China is almost non-existent. Officials point out that we still won't see any specifics about how many purchases China will make under the Phase 1 agreement. Farm groups are looking for more specific information, but don't have any just yet. And while much of the attention on the trade deal between the U.S. and China centers around concerns on China meeting its purchasing requirements under the agreement, there are still deadlines it has to meet. There are some deadlines for the U.S. to meet as well. Politico said on Friday that within the next 7 working days, the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and China's Customs Agency are required to sign a protocol to allow for the importation of U.S. potatoes. China is also required by February 24th to formally recognize the U.S. dairy safety system is as safe as its own, as well as allow imports of American pork that's been inspected by the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service. China is also required by March 14th to lift its ban on U.S. pet foods containing ruminant ingredients and eliminate cattle age requirements for import of U.S. beef and beef products. The two sides are also required by the same date to begin technical discussions intended to pave the way for China to import U.S. breeding cattle. Moving on into more Midwestern ag news now here on your Tuesday. Much above normal risk of major spring flooding along the Mississippi River. That's the headline from the Spring Flood Outlook from the National Weather Service office in the Quad Cities, says meteorologist Andy Irvin.
We are dealing statistically with a very high risk for flooding. We're talking in excess of 95% chance of reaching flood stage, even moderate flooding, and about a 95% chance of reaching major flooding. So those are about as high as percentages as are possible, given the fact that it's not currently occurring, which would, of course, be 100%. To that respect, we have several things that we're looking at that bring the flooding concern. And a lot of those situations really haven't changed much from last fall. We're dealing with a high soil moisture content across the entire upper Midwest. We've got plenty of snow upstream on the Mississippi, and the current stages on the Mississippi, while not flooding, are already fairly high compared to normal. So depending on how the snow melt occurs and how much rainfall occurs, with that overall setup of already wet soils and a lot of water in our system already would determine the severity of our flooding. And those are the details that we don't know specifics on at this time, but the overall probabilities of us reaching minor, moderate, and major flooding are extremely high.
The National Weather Service Quad Cities Office of the Flood Outlook is for the Mississippi River from Dubuque to near Keokuk along the Iowa border with Illinois. And states that border the Missouri River are forecast to experience an elevated flood risk this spring as well. The National Weather Service says those conditions will only be made worse by already saturated soil and a lot of snow to melt. The National Weather Service has issued its first spring flood outlook last week, saying Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and eastern North and South Dakota all face an above-average flooding risk, It's not good news, as many of those areas are still trying to recover from devastating flooding last year that damaged levees and cost farmers millions in crop loss. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says they are, quote, very concerned at this point. An Associated Press report says even in some places where the Corps was able to patch holes in some levees, the normal level of protection won't be there because initial repairs have not been done yet to the full height of the levee. Officials say levee repairs will likely take up to 2 years to complete. Part of the challenge is the water remains so high for so long in some areas that officials could not even assess the full scope of damage until just recently. Many levees in Iowa and Nebraska have been patched, but work has not yet begun in Kansas or Missouri on the lower reaches of the Missouri River. Moving on into state ag news now here on your Tuesday at 6:37 on Tuesday morning. The Illinois beef industry takes center stage later this week. The Illinois Beef Expo 2020 is Thursday through Sunday at the State Fairgrounds in Springfield. The Illinois Livestock Development Group's Nick Anderson has more.
It is. We'll talk about markets. We'll talk about access, trade. Those side conversations is really what it's about. And the latest technology that's out there for cattle farmers, whether it's feed bunks or buildings or feed, all those things at the trade show to take advantage of as you come to Springfield and enjoy beef genetics from great state of Illinois.
You can find a complete schedule for the Beef Expo for later this week at IllinoisBeefExpo.com. Also part of the Beef Expo, cattlemen that are interested in buying a performance-tested bull should attend the performance-tested bull sale. That'll be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday at the Livestock Center on the State Fairgrounds, Springfield. Of the 56 bulls cataloged, 24 are long-aged 2018 mature bulls and 32 are yearlings. Available breeds include 29 Angus, 19 Simmental and Sim Angus, and 8 Polled Hereford. This is the 52nd annual sale with 4,700 bulls valued at more than $8.8 million that have been sold over the past 52 years. That's according to Travis Mateer, the IPT Bull Sale Manager. In other ag news from around the state, this week is all about grain bin safety and the dangers they present to farmers. State Representative Dan Brady is the sponsor of House Resolution 621, which declares this week, February 16th through the 22nd, as Grain Bin Safety Week in Illinois. Brady says farm workers risk their lives every day when they enter large grain bins.
What it is historically to remind farmers and the entire industry in agriculture, we know that the accidents and the tragic fatalities that have occurred in farm bins from over the years. And it's just a reminder to agriculture how important they are to this state and to this country, but also the dangers that lurk out there.
According to research done at Purdue University, more than 900 cases of grain engulfment have been reported, with a fatality rate of 62% over the last 50 years. Moving on into other state ag news, as the 2020 crop season begins, the U.S. Department of Ag's National Ag Statistics Service will contact producers nationwide to determine their plans for the upcoming growing season. NAS will be mailing survey questionnaires throughout this month of February, asking producers to provide information about the types of crops they intend to plant this year and how many acres they intend to plant and the amount of grains and oil seeds they have stored on their farm. NAS encourages producers to respond online or by email, and those producers who do not respond by the deadline may be contacted by telephone or for a personal interview. NAS reminds you that they have safeguarded the privacy of all respondents, and they will only publish aggregate data, ensuring that no individual operation or producer will be identified. The survey results from these surveys will be published in the Prospective Plantings and Quarterly Grain Stock Report that will be released on March 31st. These and all NAS reports will be available online at nas.usda.gov/publications. And if you need more information, you can call the NAS Regional Heartland Field Office in Springfield at 800-551-1014. Moving on now to the Ag Community Bulletin Board, 20 till 7 here on your Tuesday morning. The Illinois Farm Bureau and Country Financial will be hosting an agribusiness seminar along with others around the state. This current one will be held on tomorrow, Wednesday, the 19th, at Angelo's Restaurant in Taylorville. Registration will open at 5:50, dinner available at 6. The program will begin at 6:30, and guest speakers and topics at the event will be Doug Yoder of Country Financial for a crop insurance update, Dr. Gary Schnittke of the U of I on a farm bill update, and Brad Clow, an agribusiness operations manager, will cover a crop claims update. If you need more information on tomorrow evening's event, you can contact any of your Country Financial agents in Christian County. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for the Ag Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, February 18th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.